Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part one for this February 9th, 2023, 10:05 on the clock. Have your host, James J. Mailoff. At part two, at 10:30, Jackie Carantini, Human Development and Relationships Educator with UW Extension, going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about their Extension's Wellness Series with Jackie. Right now, we got a couple of our friends from the Historic Point Boston. We're going to talk about Wakely's Winter Feast. I'll have you guys introduce yourselves so the audience is familiar with what voices, what talking here. So you can go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Larry Knutson down at Point Boss. I'm called Torger. I am in the bunkhouse down there, but one of the workers and lackeys of Historic Point Boss.
Always good to see you, Larry. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
And I'm Tom Bramer, and I reside in the trapper's cabin there when we're open, but today we're going to be cooking for the winter feast.
Right on. And I'm so excited to talk with both of you guys. Tom, always good to see you. Appreciate the time from both of you. What you guys do to keep history alive over there and living and alive and well over at Historic Point Boss. Let's dive right into Wakely's Winter Feast. Tom, if people have never heard of this event before, what can we tell them about it right away?
It's a fundraiser.
Yeah.
We have to pay the gas bill and the light bill like everybody else, and this is one way we do it. What we've done is hit on a thing that Mr. Wakely himself did back in the 1800s, is about in February he had cotillions. Hmm. Now, they had a big hotel that is long gone, but they would have a big party. Yeah, break up the winter, you know, whatever. And so we kind of hit on that some years ago, and we decided that we would do a dinner and program, and we decided we would do wild game, or some of it. I mean, not everybody likes it, so we're trying to get everybody to come, so we kind of do both. And then we'd have, we have some music, and we have some entertainment. We were doing raffle baskets. Silent auction for some handmade turned wooden bowls and stuff that one of our members does. And it's from 4 until 8 o'clock, or 7:30, 8 o'clock, on February 18th. We're at the Nakusa Senior Civic Center on Crestview.
Can't miss it.
Yeah, right behind the high school, the junior high there. And lots of signs. And we'll be, this is our... Oh, I don't know. Well over 30.
I was going to say.
That we've done. I think the earliest I can find record that we did them was 89.
And, you know, and I want the audience to know I take these interviews seriously. I do my homework. I want to be prepared when I come into them. And then Mike walks in here and I know nothing. I listen to Mike Hittner for 5 minutes and I'm like, oh, my God. All that hours and hours of research, I know nothing. Mike knows everything.
Tell us that's our life. You know?
But I do want to touch on that a little bit because we'll get into the details of the event where people can get tickets and we'll make Larry work over here too and stuff. You don't get to just sit there, Larry.
I'm happy to sit there.
I know. What I want to do is just talk a little bit about the history of the event with you, Tom, a little, because you mentioned 30. You mentioned not even knowing, and you know it's a high number when you can't remember how many of these we've done. Like that's telling you something right there. Do you know how this event got going, how the ball got rolling on this?
We were having a meeting. We were in the basement of Forrester's restaurant out on A Street.
Nice. Old good reference.
He used to let us use their basement for our board meetings and stuff. I mean, at the time, we used to pass the hat around to make the gas bill around the board of directors. We'd all put in a little, and then we could pay the gas bill. Honest to goodness, that's how it was. And Brian McDermott, a local contractor and a member of the home builders, who was our biggest supporter, said he had just been to the Madrigal dinner at the UWSP, where they do the medieval singing and all that stuff. And he said they had such a great time. And one of the gals was sitting alongside of me, and she goes, "It sounds interesting." And so we, over the next year, came up with the idea of doing our own version of Madrigal Dinner in a different time period. And it was just an experiment. I remember the first time pacing that floor because it started at 4.
Yeah.
And it was at the Beeren Community Hall, the old one up on by the White House.
Yeah.
And we had it catered at that time. Now we cook our own, but we had it catered at that time. And I remember getting there about 3 o'clock, and I must have wore out the floor, pacing up and down. And it was a great turnout. And everything went just right, and we had a great time. But that was kind of and it's just been coming along ever since. We missed one during COVID. Well, okay, so did everybody else. But other than that, I mean, we've done one. We moved it from Christmas time to February, just to stay off. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
It was just, and thankfully, when we started, we named it Winter Feast.
Hmm.
Yeah, we didn't even have to change the name of the thing. It wasn't nothing to do with the holidays.
Yeah.
So we just picked it up and moved it.
Covered your bases with that. That worked out.
When I did our research into the cotillions that Wakely had done, they would write up in the local papers. Mm-hmm. They were in February. Huh. So it's like, okay, here we go.
Yeah, perfect.
We're on.
So I love hearing the origin stories of these things. Real quick story. It reminds me so much, and I talked to Mike about this before. Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago. Gary Sinise, John Malkovich, two of the greater actors we've seen. Mm-hmm. They're young men, and they want to start out a theater company for young Chicago actors, Midwest actors, really, mm-hmm. not just Chicago, but any kids in the Midwest that can't make it to New York, to Juilliard and all this stuff. And they're just starting out, and they talk about this in an interview, how the first year or so they had to steal toilet paper from like a gas station just to get by.
Yep.
And they decide, well, how can we keep the lights on? Well, maybe we should let people see these shows. Today, Steppenwolf is considered the Broadway of the Midwest. Like, you good luck getting tickets to their shows and everything. Like, it's kind of funny how these things begin and where they end up. And when it comes to something like this, how has the event grown over the years? How has it?
It hasn't grown a lot. We shoot for about 150 people. One year or two, we had some more.
Mm-hmm.
A few years, especially right around this COVID thing, we had a little less. But but we do entertainment. We've got more live and more period entertainment than we used to have. This year, we have a 3-piece band.
Right on.
Well, guitar, fiddle, and a bass player. Well, if Robert Wakely would have had 3-piece to play at his cotillion, he thought he had died and went to heaven.
Yeah, really, yeah.
Because they're acoustic. I mean, it's the real sound. And we've been lucky with that a few different times to be able to pick up people that do that, not necessarily folk music, but the style that we're looking for. And it really adds to it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've just kind of gone from there.
Larry, how do you participate in the event?
Well, on Friday, we are setting up the site out there, and we're starting our cooking. And actually, Monday, we're going to be hauling our meats over to the center because they've given us permission that we can put our meats in the coolers to start thawing them and things like that for the event.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of a gopher, I guess, for the most part there. But luckily on Friday we typically have a good number of volunteers that come out, and then we start the cooking process and setting up the tables and things like that. And then on Saturday when we have the event, I'm a little selfish there. That's the day I want to eat. I don't really work as hard. If need be, I come out in the morning and help with the final food preparations. Yeah. But Tom and Scott, one of our chefs out there, do a fantastic job in finishing the foods and things like that and getting ready for the event. And after the event, if you ever see Tom after the event, he's maybe laying on the floor because he's so exhausted
from
all the work that he's done out there. So I tell you, none of us work as hard as Tom. But we do have a good number of people out there. We can always use more for sure. Because it is a very strong or labor-intensive event to do out there.
We'll be wrapping up talking about that and encouraging people to volunteer and be a part of things over there. And I appreciate that, Larry. And you earned the rest. You've earned to sit back and enjoy your meal, like Tom has here, too.
We need storytellers to help with the entertainment. Not well, you know, not official like entertainment, but the character, the ambiance of the day. Larry brings his character, of course, and that is a big part of what we do.
At the beginning of the event, we have hors d'oeuvres and things like that, and we want people to socialize. And that's why we start at 4 o'clock, so that people have an opportunity to socialize a little bit and meet some other people. And we have a lot of tables that are set up because families come. They bring their whole family, big groups of people and stuff together.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Larry, because this what I hear over the years and years, not just with this event, but any events that you host at the Historic Point Boss, it's so much about those things. All the stuff that's planned, everybody looks forward to that kind of thing. There's the organic stuff, running into people you haven't seen in a while, making new friendships. And certainly when you bring families and you're bringing your kids to this event, the kids aren't just going to have a really good meal. They're going and they're seeing, wow, my parents are putting into their community. They're putting into the history of our community. They're trying to keep this alive. Their brains are sponges. They're taking all this in. And they see that example, they're going to grow up and be more likely to want to do that kind of stuff. So it's not just a great meal and helping the Historic Point Boss keep its lights on and all that stuff. It's helping keep history alive, important history that's important to all of us and should be carried on. I know what we'll get into is about volunteering and stuff a little bit later, but we're talking about the meal and that. Let's touch on the meats that are going to be there, Tom.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do, we've got venison meatloaf.
Right on. Ooh, venison meatloaf. I don't think I've had that.
Well,
how have I been in this state 20 years and not had venison meatloaf? Well, I've had every
shame
kind of
on you.
Venison.
I'll sell you a ticket. At 10:30, I'll sell you a ticket.
That sounds good. Yeah.
We're also doing cabbage rolls made with black bear.
Ooh.
One of our friends, member, was lucky enough to harvest a black bear this year, and we got a nice chunk, and we're going to, that's a ground one too, but with wild rice. And then you put it in the glumkes, I think they call them.
I can see it. I can picture it, yeah.
With a little bit of the tomato over the
top.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, and that sounds amazing.
And we're going to do raccoon a la king. Little bacon powder biscuit, and then the raccoon and gravy with a little celery, onion, a little roasted red pepper, that kind of... you know, biscuit and gravy, chicken and biscuit only with raccoon. That's sort of a take, and that goes over real well. We've done that with a number of different games over the years, and this year we're trying it with raccoon, and then we're doing beaver stroganoff.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh,
beaver is excellent meat. The native people have been eating it for centuries.
Right.
Waste not, want not. Uh-huh. You know.
Yeah.
And I'm quite sure that trappers even out west, I mean, you've got it laying there, so it's time to eat. We're going to eat it. And it's good. There's nothing wrong. You got to cook it long and get it tender because it's kind of tough. You can cook it up good, and we've done real well. Last year we did beaver stew, so this year we're doing stroganoff. Stroganoff's a little tough to hold.
Yeah.
So we're working on that, but we have a chef, honest to goodness certified chef, that comes in, and he's given us a lot of ideas, and he's the one that puts it all together at the end. We get everything pretty much prepared, and then about noon on Saturday, it's like, okay, this is yours. You figure out how to get it all out at 5 o'clock.
And
exactly. He does. My mind doesn't run that way. I mean, I'll cook this and I'll cook that, but he's the one that gets it all hot at just the right time, and boom.
A good chef is an artist.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, they really are. The way they can combine things and stuff, it's crazy.
Yep.
Is there a way we could, and I don't know if you guys have tried these different types of meats or not and everything, and we don't have to ramble too much about this, but is there anything people should know, like what raccoon, like is it gamey, or is it a little tender, is it tough to eat? Is there a certain flavor to it?
Raccoon is more like pork.
Okay.
Honestly, we were just talking about it. You know, there's you have to clean it really good and get the fat off. That's the part that tastes funky.
Oh, okay.
And if you don't get...
Makes sense.
If you get it greasy, no, thank you.
Huh.
But if you... In the beaver, is a drier meat. Bear is a little sweeter.
Oh, really?
And of course, venison is venison.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. In fact, the venison we eat today is a whole lot different than I remember as a kid when my uncle would bring over venison for us.
Yeah.
For it, you know, you get slate to get cool, and all of a sudden you got the tallowy thing. Now, these guys are they're eating corn and good stuff. They're not eating. Willow brows.
Right,
yeah, they will this time of year, but in the fall, they're eating the leftovers from the harvest.
You have
it's
to,
really good.
You have to look back in time a little bit. Years and years ago, when you're in the wilderness and stuff, everybody wanted fat. They wanted fat on their meat. Therefore, raccoon and beaver, and if the fattier they were, the more appealing they were, you know, because you needed that for energy and stuff. Yeah. But today, we try and... go along with the diet of people today. So we try and make sure that they're all the gamey stuff is taken, the gamey flavor. And there's lots of things. Apple and onion is two wonderful things to take that gamey flavor out. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of different recipes that we hope makes it a little more appealing to
today's
palate.
We go through a boatload of onions.
I bet.
This year we had one of our members donated just a bunch of apple that they had cored and frozen. So there's going to be apple in a whole bunch of things.
Ooh, that's
in fact,
good.
We're doing a squash and apple pudding. Hmm. Now, it's not a dessert. The English idea of pudding is a lot different than ours.
Yeah.
But it's squash and apples cooked together, and it's kind of stiffer, more like, at least I hope that's how it turns out. We've never made it before, but we have a recipe from 1797.
Whoa.
The first cookbook written and published in what is now the U.S.
Whoa. That is awesome.
Yeah. A relative of Thomas Jefferson's wife wrote this thing back there, and it's one of the ones we picked up, and it's sort of a cooked squash dish, but it's got the apple and other spices and stuff in it.
That's awesome.
We're trying it. I mean, what the heck?
Yeah, yeah.
We're doing homemade sauerkraut that we made on the site. Mike makes the sauerkraut each year.
Yeah.
A tradition that we've had for
He's proud of that,
many,
too.
Many.
Everything
should
I've
be.
Heard, it's good really stuff. Good. Yeah.
Good stuff.
We're also doing baked beans with beans that we grew in our garden.
Oh, wow.
The squash that we have and pumpkin that we're going to use a little later, I'll tell you about for dessert, was grown on the site. The gardeners there that are part of our group have done just a tremendous job with their garden. We're also doing macaroni and cheese. Not everybody likes a lot of meat.
Yeah.
Okay, macaroni and cheese during the revolutionary time. Now, it was different, but they had it. And again, Jefferson was one of the ones when he came back from France, wanted to have macaroni here, and they sent him a machine from Italy to make noodles. But our flour is different than theirs, and it didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's kind of an interesting side.
Very interesting story.
So we're going to do kind of a contemporary mac and cheese. We're doing, of course, dressing and mashed potatoes and gravy and chicken and ham. Besides.
So those will be the kind of alternatives for people if they don't want to try maybe some of them.
We wanted something on the menu for people that possible vegetarians and things like that.
That's so cool that you guys thought of that stuff and are countering that. I mean, it's smart business-wise. You're going to bring more people and everything. But it's also something that I always think is noteworthy when people do that. Nobody's making you do that. I think it's really cool that you think of those things and counter that with giving more options for people.
I'd like some members of my family wouldn't come unless we did that. Let's just put it that way.
Same here.
So we want to keep the family together.
Yes.
Right on.
So,
very good.
So
very well done.
It always made sense to.
Yeah.
In fact, when we started this, the wild game was kind of the add-on. It was chicken and ham or chicken and beef, whichever worked out for that year, was the main thing. And then we would also serve venison or whatever. Besides, well, now it's kind of gone. Let's see how creative we can be with the wild game. And of course, we've always got the other stuff that's everybody likes.
Right.
So it's worked out.
Well, and it's so unique. It's such a unique event. There's not many things, if anything, like this that I can think
of.
There's
a few wild game dinners around.
Yeah.
The Sportsman's Club out at Babcock does the buffalo thing. I think they're still doing it. I'm not sure. I know they used to because I used to help them with it. But there's a few around.
Yeah.
You got to be licensed by the state to do it.
Yeah.
And we have.
Oh, yeah.
Got a license from the state. And like I say, with our chef there, we've got the licensed food service personnel that have hold a license. So it's we play the game, but it works out.
You mentioned that there will be – did you have something, Larry?
Well, I just wanted to mention the facility, too. It's a wonderful facility.
Yeah.
Good seating that we have. The people work with us wonderfully out there.
Yeah.
And we're really proud to have that site out there as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that.
We talked to Heather, who's the gal that manages the site there. We asked for something. She just smiles and goes, okay.
Yeah. Heather's amazing.
Heather's
amazing.
You know, it's just fun.
A good morning to Heather out there. Yeah, she's amazing. The Wakely's Winter Feast is going to be going on Saturday, February 18th. The gathering will begin at 4, feast at 4:50, and the program will start at 6:30. As the gentleman mentioned, Nakusa Area Senior Community Center is where it is be taking place at 416 Crestview Lane in Nakusa. Where can they get tickets, Tom?
Family Natural Foods in Rapids on the west side, Daily Drugs on the east side, and Beaver's Variety Store in Nakusa.
And we wanted to make sure to mention to people out there that they've got great events going on. Next time you guys join us, we'll talk about Sugar Bush in March and plenty of things like that. But there's always tours available and that kind of thing.
We can. This time of year, not quite not so
as
much.
I'm sorry. Yeah, not
but,
as much this time of year.
But in the spring, we do. Last year, we did almost 1,000 school kids.
That's awesome.
Through that site. Our charge is minimal.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
We can do that because nobody ever gets paid. We're all volunteers. Yeah. We show up. Other than the lights have to be on anyway, so I mean, there's no extra cost. So they pay. I think it's like $3 a kid to come for a whole day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine.
It's so amazing.
And then we do our Sugar Bush. But if people have a group that they want to go to the website, check in there, somebody will get back to you. We'll do stuff.
Yeah.
That's depending on availability of the volunteers.
Right.
Like you say, we are all volunteers out there. So and we do our utmost to make sure that we have some volunteers available out there. So.
And we could always use some more volunteers. And if people do want to volunteer, be a part of things over at Wakely. Appreciate you guys and want you guys around another 100 years. But we know how Father Time works. So we want more people. We want younger people. We want to keep this going for another 50, 60,000 years and keep this going and everything. So we need people to help do with that.
The pioneers were not gray-haired old men and women. They were young people with kids. And to truly tell the story, we need to have some of our volunteers be young families. We've got a few folks right now they're there as a young family. And it's like, isn't this cool? Because that's the way it really was.
Yeah, very well said. That's a perfect way to wrap up. Again, Wakely's Winter Feast going on next Saturday, February 18th. The gathering will begin at 4, feast at 4:50, the program at 6:30, all taking place at the Nakusa Area Senior Community Center at 416 Crestview Lane in Nakusa. Get your tickets at Family Natural Foods, Beaver's Variety Store, Daily Drug. Find out more by going to historicpointboss.com, that website, bookmark it, historicpointboss.com. Great job today, you guys. That was fun.
Thank you for the show.
We'll be sending people your way to the event.
Okay,
you're probably going to see me at the event even. I got to try some of these
better.
Meetings. I got to try these things. Thanks for the time, guys. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with some more Morning Magazine for you right here at WFHR.